We are recording.
Excellent. Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 8:20, about 2 or 3 minutes past 6. I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Duquette.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Director, Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
And Director Garrett.
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Excellent. So, public input as it pertains to this evening's agenda. Do we have any public input? I'll take that as a no. Next item, minutes, approval of the NEA public minutes of March 18, 2026.
Put forth the motion to approve the minutes of March 18, 2026.
Second. Okay, any discussion? Okay, and all those who approve of the NEA public minutes of March 18, Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries. Okay, it looks like we have two communication items. April 7th, Ross Desmond. Conduct aircraft maintenance, and April 23, Operation High Flight, Mark Andrews, assigned request. So, just want to get to those under new business. So, let's see, that brings us to reports. First up is the tower report.
Treasurer's report?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, that's totally fine.
I was watching Dave be real quiet, Mike.
So anyway, now this is kind of a combined March and April. I'm going to skip right to April, mostly year-to-date stuff. At the risk of being somewhat redundant, our actuals for budget are pretty much still tracking. Other than we do have a positive variance, it's partially offset. We have a positive variance in snow removal income because of more storms, but then we have an offset of fuel flowage fees that continue to kind of soften up a little bit. I'm not quite sure what the deal is there.
Fuel flowage meaning. We're not getting
the money.
It's way
out.
Yeah.
I know we had a lousy winter, so I'm probably not a lot of flying. But the fuel flowage was still a little on, about another $1,500 off in April. It's not a great trend, but. Maybe Chris has some insight into this.
Yeah, just my take on it, Dave. With the price of fuel going up to unbelievable levels, it's over, I think it's like 840 something a gallon right now.
Yeah,
people are actively shopping fuel more than they used to and going to uncontrolled fields where the self-serve fuel.
Yeah.
So I think that is part of the hit that we're taking.
Those fees are based on volume. Dollars, right?
It's based on
delivery volume.
The amount of gas, not how much the dollars.
It's based on gallons.
And
on
it's, tax. So I said the prices have increased. They've increased everywhere. Even some of these self-serve farms are now the same price that we're charging.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's very, very big part of it. Especially like the current, the prior trend is probably due to, crappy weather. But then with the pricing situation, that's probably a good analogy. So that's softened up a bit. There's some other smaller ones that we're doing better at. Overall, our revenue is about $23,000. Our expenses are tracking pretty much level for the year. So we have a surplus of against budget of about $26,000. Total surplus of $41,000 year to date with positive variance to budget of $26,000. The other thing that's in here that we're probably going to be reversing, given the fact that we no longer own the fuel funds, we've been accruing an expense for maintenance of the fuel farm, which we no longer need to worry about, thankfully. So that would be an adjustment sometime between the end of the year to basically reverse that accrual. So, what's been happening over the past is we've been hit by $5,000 or $10,000 for fees that are cost to maintain the fuel farm, inspections and all that stuff. But rather than taking the hit in 1 year, we decided to start providing for it, accruing for it each year. So it kind of helps level out the cash flow with the expense. Well, now we don't have to worry about that anymore. So whatever's been accrued, we can undo.
So the $10,000 that we accrued in this fiscal year?
Yeah.
So we got about $5,000 left in the kitty, it looks like, on the budget?
Yeah, so that'll I'm not sure if the whole thing, but I've got to talk to the decision manager. We'll chat about that. We'll bring some time to me now in June. So that's about all I got. And I mean, our interest income is pretty good. We have a couple of CDs that we've been interest on. Plus the sweep that we're getting from our idle cash. Anybody have a question? Good.
Okay, Brett, do you have any questions for Dave?
No questions for Dave, thank you.
Okay.
All right, put forth the motion to approve the March and April 2026 financial subject audit.
I will second the motion. Okay, any further discussion?
I have one question. My sheet on page 20 ending March 31st.
There's a second one. If you go through the stack, it's just in both months.
Yeah, somewhere around page 31.
For those of you that have an iPad.
Well, it's a PDF, so it's from the same as that.
There's a tech geek in every crowd. As I fly with three iPads and
read everything before you say,
you'll end up getting a pill by one of your mouth eventually.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, all those who approve of the March 2026 and April 2026 financial statement subject to audit.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette?
Yes.
Treasurer Heat?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
Okay, welcome, Harry. Thank you. Okay, now, communication again, we have two. We'll get to those every new business. And next up is going to be the power report. And what I'm seeing here, yeah, I'll go over people. The 4962 operation was down 459 from March, or off 8%. 2526 year over year is up 831, it's up 18%. Year to date, we are up 20%.
Last year was, I think, negative, right?
Yeah, we were hurt for a while.
Yeah, that's the correlation between that and fuel flow is kind of baffling.
So last spring, before we had the fuel prices shooting up like we do this spring, we had just a run of bad weather.
For 3 months.
Yeah, so it's not that like this year is great, but last year was horrible.
Oh, yeah, last year we had
we got a hydropower curve early and
We literally had
but this year's better, not great.
But you could tell the negative 459 from last month, that's the gap. You can start to see that now, right? That's a lagging indicator, so.
Yeah, I bet that has a lot to do with it. So let's see, next report up is airport manager.
Good evening, everyone. Upcoming events, we have the Compass Rose painting project coming up on the 30th of this month, weather permitting. The Eastern New England chapter of 99 will be painting our Compass Rose in the 1-4 run-up area. We removed that when we did Taxiway Alpha because all the pavement was removed. This is a volunteer group. We still pay for all the supplies and the survey, and the survey has been scheduled, and we're pretty much ready to go, just having good weather day. June 20th, New Hampshire Aviation Museum barbecue and fly-in is scheduled. That event was generally held in Hangar 81. We have a couple things going on that weekend. One of them is the FIFA World Cup, and we're expecting some extra jet traffic here because of some of the deals that Mr. Levesque has put out to jet customers. So they're anticipating some extra activity, so we've actually moved that event. Terrence Hart and I had a discussion with Jeff Rassus last week about moving it into Hangar 91. So they're going to have that event next to our old office, the old GE hangar in 91 perimeter. Not only are they having the barbecue and the fly-in, they're going to have a small Young Eagles event that day, and they're trying to round up a few warbirds to come in that day. They haven't nailed those down yet, but that's in the works. Parking will be the same for that event. People generally park out in the main parking lot here in front of the tower area, and now they just simply walk in the gate between 89 and 87. We'll have a staging area over there where we give safety briefings to all the participants before they walk in the gate. We're going to have barricades across the end of the taxiway to prevent anybody from, encourage them from going out into an area where they shouldn't be. And we'll have, there'll be staff on board as well as volunteers policing the perimeters.
So, Chris, that weekend, the June 20th, that's the World Cup?
Yeah.
That week?
So I've been told. Okay. I'm not a follower of soccer, so I don't really know.
Okay. Interesting. Good.
Even though it's the only competitive sport I ever played, I don't follow it.
I think it's in March 1st.
It's June 11th through July 11th.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be,
it's
traffic is
going to
happen pretty much every
weekend.
Oh, well, Karen said it was only that
June
weekend.
June 13th and July 9th. June 13th and July 9th.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know why they picked that day for being busy, but...
Well, the 13th.
Well, hopefully we have a busy month then.
Yeah,
13th is Saturday.
What they're offering is waiving ramp fees, I believe, and offering free transportation from here to, I guess it's at Foxborough.
Yeah.
Additionally, we have on September 19th scheduled the 2026 Wheels and Wings event at Nashua. I think we're all familiar with that. And we'll start reaching out to participants in that. And we've had turnouts of over 4,000 people in the past for this event. Hopefully we get good weather this year, and it's about the same. Last year we had north of 3,000 people at the event, so great event. September 19th, no rain date for that event. And actually, we found in the past that if it rains, we keep going because the people keep coming. So it's been a good event, even in the rain. So other items of interest, and I know Gale Associates will be talking about some of these, but the runway crack seal repair, remarking, and AWOS saws relocation projects have begun. Runway closure dates for this week, Monday through Friday, 18th through the 22nd, daily from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Notice was sent out to all tenants and customers via constant contact e-blast. Notice has been posted on the NEA website. Notams have been posted. It's been going well. We're 3 days into it right now. I would say that everybody's on target, if not ahead. And we've been able to open up the runway right around 5 o'clock each afternoon. And the only aircraft we are accepting during the day are medevac helicopter flights. We've had a couple, and everything seems to go real smooth with that. I'm pleased with the work and the contractors, actually. East Coast Aero Club has officially moved into the Nashua Airport Authority Terminal Building. They relocated their fleet of aircraft to the tower ramp, so I'd like to welcome East Coast Aero Club. They're the busiest flight school on the field. They're increasing their fleet to up to 10 aircraft now. And, glad to have them here. Marshall Signs had installed a new sign at the southeast entrance to the 79 Perimeter Road property. And if you come in that entrance, you'll see that it lists Nashua Airport Authority as we own the building. It has Tivoli listed on it, Infinity Aviation, and East Coast Aero Club.
And it's now spelled correctly.
It is spelled correctly. Awesome. Somebody had a typo on the sign.
Love it.
But they fixed that. They apologized. And embarrassing for all. Best thing is it was kind of in a shadow and you could barely see it.
Yeah, really. Right.
I remember a few years back, the Washington Nationals, they all seemed to have uniforms where Nationals was misspelled.
No.
Yeah.
Nice. Which word was misspelled?
Yeah,
authority.
Yeah,
authority.
Authority.
And people have been bringing up, oh, the Infinity logo is incorrect too. They missed the dot on the I. The dot is not in the I on there, right, in the second I. So, other items. I've been working with a few different contractors, seeking quotes for a new roof and landscaping for the terminal building. Dave has been working with a landscaper as well. I just received one of them as I walked in the door just now for the roof. And the other two I received, and I need to review them. I've been very busy on the field this week with the projects, but I need to make sure we're talking apples and apples with these roof quotes, and I'll go over those. We're actually going to discuss those in, with some real estate items in non-public this evening. But I can tell you right now, a couple of the quotes are far less than we had initially been verbally quoted, so moving in the right direction. And it'll be for a complete new roof on the building. There is really nothing salvageable. I say complete, not areas like where we're sitting now. This is a metal standing team roof and the additions to the exterior of the building. But the main original building, as well as the tower cab and the tower catwalk, have all failed and need to be replaced as well. There's also an area in the atrium area to go up the spiral staircase, which we are not permitting people at this time to go up, but there's a viewing deck up there. That's part of the whole main roof. We're going to fix that all up, new pavers, and clean that up and use it as it was intended.
Is that eventually going to be open to people?
Eventually, yes, once we fix it all up, make it safe and presentable, because it's been neglected since it was put up there. As far as the landscapers go, again, we'll talk about that later, Dave. We're trying to, just to give everybody a briefing, we're going to dress up the front of 79 perimeter as well as the ramp side. We're talking about irrigation, not the entire area, because obviously Infinity's going to be building hangars next door, but in the main entrance, shrubbery, plantings, cleaning up the walkway. And once we decide on what we're going to do, we'll present that again to everybody so everybody's aware of it. April 1st, I attended a gathering as guest speaker at National Community College. Unfortunately, I missed Ross. He wasn't quite there that day. Ross is actually an instructor over at the community college for the AMT program. I address students and faculty involved in their APC and AMT programs. I was pretty impressed. That program a few years ago, I'm on a committee over there, and we first met, they had four students involved in the program. They have, I believe, almost 30 students in the AMT program alone now, right?
The freshman class has got about 30 students.
30 students from four a couple of years ago. And I'll give a lot of credit to all the people involved. Doug Mitchell, I think, is leading the charge. and he's doing a fantastic job. I was impressed with the students I talked to. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit to get them asking questions, not with this group. I was there for a few hours answering questions about, they want to know about airport operations.
Nice.
And so I wish them the best of luck, and we're here for them.
Give them 30 minutes on PFAS, cleaning out swamps.
Oh, I told them. Trash patrol.
Broken gravel.
Yeah. April 30th, this is kind of moot at this point, we held our AWASAWS project kickoff meeting, Gale Associates, Colin Electric, FAA. We're involved in that project now, and I'll let Gale speak to more of that. A couple other things. We have, at the request of Pennants, and I was all over this as well, we've enhanced the access to this building with electronic smart door access all around the building, as well as the server room and my office, so that now, and we'll provide all the directors with credentials to get in the building now. The building is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Those are generally the hours that Infinity's always in the building. East Coast is here most of that time too. After hours, you will need credentials sent to the building. You can do it either with a fob, an RFID type credit card, your phone, facial recognition.
Similar to the gate stuff.
Similar. So it's a pretty slick system. IT, Meshworks IT, who's one of our tenants here, he's been doing all the installations, all the programming, all the database management for that. Been excellent to work with. He's doing a great job. So sometime when you guys have time, if you come in, we'll get you all programmed up with some fobs at least. Gate control upgrade, something that we've been working on for a couple of years. It's about to happen. They came in to start the installation, and we ran into a snag on day one, and it was with the cards. We were told during one of our recent public meetings that the cards that we currently use would work with this system. Turns out they won't. So we're now working on a solution to this, an amicable solution, because there's potentially a huge expense with acquiring new cards. I have come up with an alternative card. Susan looked it up, says it's compatible, that I can get a really good deal on, but we're waiting to hear back from One Source Security on what their solution is. I want to hear what they have to present first. And once that's done, we're going to start installing these systems probably relatively soon. So that's the Brevo system. And that's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
What's the cost on the new cars?
It could be upwards of about $9,000 if we were to use the Brevo cards. We're not going to spend $9,000 on cards. Okay. And again, this is part of what I've been talking about with Mr. Peskowitz with One Source.
So the cards we now presently have aren't going to work in the new system?
No.
How many people currently have cards?
There's approximately 1,200 cards out.
And how many of them actually have business on the field anymore?
There's about 1,200 that are active cards within the last year.
So
now that varies all the time, Dave.
Okay. So it's not a bunch of, it hasn't lasted 10 years.
No, if they're not used in within a year, Susan removes them from the system.
Oh, okay.
If we didn't, we'd have 100,000 cards.
Okay, that's great. That's good to know. And I was wondering what that was. Yeah.
These are top secret things that we really can't tell about.
Do we know the individual cost per card?
Yes.
$9 from the sound of it.
Well, yeah, they're expensive. But I've got an alternative that we looked up, and Susan said they will work with the system.
Google.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say,
okay.
Okay.
Not Susan.
All right.
Google Chris Wright.
Don't want to own it.
For gate access, we can't use
We can use phones, but there's going to be a cost associated with using phones as well. So the cheapest way is a card, apparently.
Okay. Could we, could we charge the card holders a deposit on the card, and then when they return them, they get the deposit back?
I think what we have to do, Larry, because I put a lot of thought to this, they've already purchased cards. It's not right that we try to charge them for new cards. People moving forward that purchase cards will purchase them at whatever rate we decide to sell them at. But it's like somebody came in yesterday and they got a card. I'm not going to next week tell them, hey, you have to give us more money for a new card. We're just going to replace them. And in the long run, even $9,000, it's not the end of the world, but we're not going to go
back. But the vendor said that we could, and now we can't. I mean, they own it.
That's
right.
What I've been working on. Yeah, I don't want to get into all the nitty-gritty, but okay. I'm working on it.
Okay.
They know that I'm not happy with it.
Okay.
Good.
Any additional questions for Chris? Jess, are you good?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for that update, Chris.
You're welcome.
Okay. I think if you're all done, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you want more.
Matt,
you want more?
I'll warm up $9,000
card.
Okay. What's it coming to happen? Give everybody half a card.
Next up is our engineer's report. Matt.
All right. Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Chris did touch upon the two big projects that are ongoing, the AWOS solid project and the crack sealing project. The runway has been closed. Was it 7 to 5?
Yes.
For this week, we are on schedule to have the airport fully back up and functioning after this Friday. That is the last day of shutdown. Jamie Carrion from my office is DRE overseeing the AWOS project. As you guys know, you know Danny, he's the best in the business at this. So you're in really good hands with him, keeping tabs on what's going on out there. The update that he gave me this afternoon before I came here was that most of the conduit is in place, with the exception of the 20 feet close to the new AWOS and the SAWS location. And that's primarily because the sensor foundation and the AWOS and SAWS foundation are going in tomorrow. Then they'll be pulling cables from the glide slope shelter to the new AWOS. Everything is on track as far as that project goes. So if there's any questions on that or more details you want to get into, but it's going smoothly.
Any cards needed?
What's that?
Any cards needed?
Any cards?
Any cards?
Maybe just transporting the currently functional cards.
Make sure we're covering all the cards.
Yeah.
So is there anything in the next 2 days that is critical that can go sideways?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so.
No, not with the electrician. Yeah. He's talking about the AWOS relocation. That's, like you said, right now it's down to pulling wire, installing a transformer, boring a hole, putting a breaker in. On the glide slope shack.
All the stuff that's, so the stuff that requires a runway shutdown is pretty well done.
Except for the wire pulling. That has to, that requires, because they need to go back and forth. But hang on a second. The original shutdown, we combined it with the other project. And quite frankly, what happened during this job is they found an existing piece of conduit that we weren't aware of that we're able to use, and it minimized the trenching on either side of the runway. So they're kind of ahead of the game on that, and this, all they have to do really is they have to dig a little hole over by to pull it up to the glide slope shack, and much further infield they had to trench as well. But in terms of shutdown, it's just to get that wire pulled. Once that's done, and let me tell you, the electrician that's on this job, Cullen, first class.
Good.
And they don't need a lot, any hand holding as far as I can tell. And we've been out there constantly with them. Danny's with them. Andrew's with the other contractor up there that Matt will talk about. But I don't see any snafus with that. And I've been out there, Matt, all the time, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
And as I said, everybody's on target. It's gone ahead.
So this the money part here, this $517,000, that's for...
I don't know, I believe it is, David. I just don't know if
paid any of that, sir?
I'm sorry?
You paid any of that?
Yeah, we reimbursed, I think we just submitted reimbursement number 4, I think this week, that project fee, yeah, you guys have reimbursed some of that.
And any problem getting the state share or the city share?
That's where we got the reimbursable from.
The reimbursement through the FAA.
Yeah, but through
the reimbursement request that we've been submitting, I think we've been paying today, so it's been a while since we've submitted one, because it's the first time since the design we've been back on site, current
first year of work.
So it's been a little bit since we've submitted one. But
for the 2.5% or so, or has that been requested? The state and the local share.
The state comes with, from the federal share, comes with the federal share.
Okay.
So I get the
95%
comes from the city. Right. I am going to bill the city or request funds from the city once the project is completed and I bill the complete 5%.
Okay. We never get that till the close of the project. Then.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? Good. Yes, we have Chris Hutchcon, so the crack sealing project that has Andrew Lins also from our office who's out there overseeing that. They are almost done with the crack sealing. They started painting on the runway 32 end, working their way towards the runway 14 end. And then there's still a little more rubber removal that is ongoing. I think they're happy with the work. I haven't heard from Chris this week, which is a good thing. So, I've heard from Danny and Andrew, not from Chris, so that's always a good thing. You must be occupied with the car for your slip. That's good. But I think that probably showed really well from what I'm being told, and Chris, I think you're echoing that.
Yep, well. I agree. I like what they're doing. I brought Susan out to look at it today, and I'm impressed with this painting of the lines is essentially done by hand with carts. It's not like they have a robot doing it, and it's very difficult to paint straight lines with a cart, especially the long ones. And they're pretty good. I would say excellent.
Yes.
And the other thing they're battling is the winds this week have been crazy. We were blowing over 30 knots this afternoon, and it's very difficult. They have to have the nozzles really low, but it looks great. Yeah. The crack sealing, the routing, they routed the whole center line of the runway. We had places where it was very deep, other places it wasn't, where it was too deep and it went through the pavement. They fill it in with... They said it's a sandblast media, Black Beauty. I looked at it, it's not Black Beauty, but it's a sand material.
Like gray, isn't it?
Yeah. And they fill that in, and then they crack seal on top of that. They make one pass, a couple days, wherever it settles, they'll go in and make another pass and fill in all the settles. So I'm very happy with it. They have, I'd say, more than a third of the painting done today, and they still have 2 more days. Understand too that they originally had 10 days for this project, and they said weather permitting they get it done in 5, and I think they're on track for that. And they've been getting the runway open right around 5 o'clock every day, so that's perfect. They're right at 5 o'clock today, so we're able to recover aircraft at that point. Aircraft have been departing in the morning upwards of 7:05 this morning. And as soon as that last plane takes off, bam, we have it closed, X is up, barriers up, and they're out there working. So good job by the crew and the engineers.
Who's the company, Chris?
There's 2 different companies out there. We have Cullen Electric.
On the crack ceiling.
On the crack ceiling, it's called J.J. Cunningham.
Okay.
They're out of Pennsylvania. And doing a great job, really.
We've never used them before. Not that there was any, I wouldn't say concern, but I think we were... A little apprehensive.
It was not a known entity.
Exactly. So.
And the solid, the lines and everything is on the same company?
The what?
The painting and the lines?
Yeah, same company. They're doing both jobs.
Not Sir Lines a Lot or whatever that
is. I hire Not Sir Lines a Lot.
I love that name.
We all love Chip, too. He's a great guy, great business. He's excellent. These guys are excellent. I would hesitate to hire these guys again. So.
When was the last time you did field cracking and lining?
We haven't on the runway. We seal coated the runway. The last line painting was
taxiway.
When you graded it, when we did the
No, I'm talking the runway.
When we did the...
When we what?
The
yeah, we did the, what do you call it?
Grooving.
Yeah, the grooving.
That was 5?
Well, it was that, but then it was after that, too, because we had a failure.
Right.
When they put the GSB 88, the sealer on it, the paint didn't adhere to it, the GSB 88 didn't cure. So a year later, we were pulling up sheets of paint everywhere with uncured GSB 88.
That was 5 years ago?
I believe 2019, right?
Yeah.
2019.
And the runway was what, 12?
2012?
Yeah. So last time I already answered the question was 2019. And, you know, I can tell you that all the markings, they removed rubber from the runway, too, as part of this project. That's not the prettiest thing, but what you're doing is you're removing rubber off of rubber. To get it off the actual asphalt, you destroy the asphalt, so there is a slight film still. But that's what they're doing. It's coming up great.
From the aircraft tires.
Yeah, every time somebody lands, they're laying rubber down.
So the striping and the painting last done in 2019?
Yes. And it really takes a beating with the plowing equipment. Anybody in the Northeast, and, you know, we have to run carbide blades out there in the wintertime on the runway and taxiways. So it's very hard on the paint. It doesn't last forever, not even close. I'm surprised we got as long as we did.
But the
center line
crack, that's unique,
isn't it? Well, that center line crack was because there was a cold joint
right.
in the paving process.
Well, that's not every 5 or 6 years.
No, this should be it. You know, okay. 10 years from now, the seal will probably have to be done again, because that doesn't last forever.
It doesn't. The marking film, you know, we program that on your CIP.
And we programmed the...
It's unique. The mounting and the filling of the center line crack is unique. That's not part of that 5 year...
It's not a typical cycle.
No,
yeah.
No, that's just...
It broke.
We'll call it an effective cold joint painting, for paving.
So based on a 6 year length, it's costing us about $22,000 a year.
Well, that's not, a lot of this is the center line, that's what I'm getting at. The whole $260,000 is not sealing and painting. It's a bunch of it, I don't know how much, but I guess pretty close to half of it.
It's routing and filling that center line. Yeah. It isn't
branch
associated with
this
weather.
I can do the breakdown on that too and give you what the contractor's cost was on that. But it's something
that's
fully
funded anyway, so.
It is.
But that's
not our
budget.
Yeah. Ready? Two more quick updates, if you don't mind. There are two additional projects that we are submitting grants for. The first one here is the construction reimbursable agreement that is for the FAA, because the FAA is on site for that AWOS project doing their RE services as well. So the reimbursable agreement that we can submit a grant application for on that, that's just waiting funding from the state and the FAA. And then there's hotel ramp design permit for construction, and it's not SRE acquisition, that project is no longer part of this. But the scope of work for hotel ramp was prepared to send any DOT for review. They thought that they had no comments. We prepared the IFP documents and emailed those to Chris on May 14th. So Chris has those. We were asked by any DOT to submit a placeholder for the grant application so we can get through the IFP process. Once we get through the IFP process, and we have a firm value for that hotel ramp design project, we'll go ahead and revise that and send it off to NHDOT. Any questions on that project?
What is it we're doing with hotel ramp? Didn't we just...
We did Dolphin Foxtrot with the last two ramps.
Okay, so it's just really the same thing.
We've just been moving down the line, if you will. So
the last...
At the end of the road. Yep.
The SRE, is that because DOT holds us out?
That is correct. They deemed that it was ineligible at this time. Because you have too many pieces of existing
too many carrier vehicles,
which I know Chris disagrees with, and I would agree with Chris on that, but that's what they're claiming.
Yep, we tried.
Carrier vehicle meaning?
The vehicle that you mount the blower or the broom on.
So because of that, you can't get more purpose-built pieces of equipment because you have stuff you can put stuff onto.
That's still functioning.
Right.
Yep. Okay. And even though stuff is aging out, they still said no.
Yeah, because they seem to recall that the, you know, like Eldon was keeping that power broom kind of limping along.
Yeah, that's in. It's from day one. It was not a good purchase. It was a prototype. Does not work well. It's very difficult to operate. It's constantly having to be worked on. The carrier vehicle that drives it is a 2006, but technically it's 20 years old, it's eligible, but you would have to get rid of that in order to get another one, and we're not going to get rid of that, because at that, even though that thing is maintenance intensive, et cetera, because of its age, it's one of the better pieces. A lot of the other equipment we have here is even older than that.
That counts towards the number of carrier vehicles.
It does.
So, can we like keep this stuff?
No, I can't. I need this. We worked every angle we could on it, and I can't get rid of that piece of machinery. Because my other stuff's even older and worse than that. The other carrier vehicles, Dave, are the dozer, the crawler dozer. It was bought in 2016. Is that correct, Matt?
Something like that, yeah.
That's considered a carrier vehicle because there's a push box on the front of it. It also came at the same time with the Snow-Go blowers, one of the Snow-Go blowers.
So we have to wait for something to crash and burn before we can get stuff.
And it's more and more difficult with the FAA to get any of this stuff because it has to be 100% American made. There is nothing that is 100% American made, zero. There's some Ford brand equipment, and that's it. But even that, the FAA digs in, they go, well, the electronics are made in Japan. And it's, you know, I get the Buy American, but you need a reality check. We need these pieces of equipment.
Right.
And the FAA doesn't see it that way.
Yep. And also, has FAA created a chicken and egg problem for us? Because we got to get rid of a piece of equipment first.
Yeah. And I can't.
But what else is
there? We went over every angle of this, Matt and I did.
We tried hard.
Yeah. And Matt said that I don't agree with this, and he agrees with me that this was unbelievable.
I mean, we met, like, two or three times
and
tried a variety of angles, and what it came down to was, yeah, the second piece that you guys have, would see that
difference.
Yeah. And we, you know, these angles, we weren't trying to cheat the system. We were upfront and honest and saying, this is what we need. This is what we have.
Equipment is 10 years old.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
The shelf life for equipment is 10 years. Not
10 years.
20.
Right. So we have one that's 20 that they wouldn't allow us to replace.
Right.
Anyhow. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That on.
You're okay.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I have. If there's any questions, comments, I'd
be
happy to address them.
Well, great job by your resident engineers. As always, being the best in the business.
You're good.
I ride them hard, but...
You do.
And Jeff, are you good?
I'm good. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Okay. That brings us to committees. We have another
committee.
I'm an old loser.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
ECAC sign request.
So we speak on behalf of ECAC, Mark Hallsworth.
Let's see, in a previous meeting, that's why it's under old business, we talked about all the tenants of the building being able to put a sign on the, right next to the main entrance over here. You can see infinity sign is already up there. There's essentially four or five panels. And so East Coast on that first page that I handed to you, stay on the first page for now. You'll see what they've proposed. Mark and I had a discussion, Mark Hallsworth. He said that he doesn't really 100% like that sign that he has there because it's not as nice as the infinity sign, but he did not want to spend over $10,000 on an illuminated sign for right there. So he proposed what's on the second page, which will go on the front of the building, and I'll give you my opinion of this. and I don't support this second sign. I think it makes the building look like it belongs strictly to East Coast Aero Club. And let's face it, this is our building, National Airport Authority, and Cavoli is the major tenant in this building. And I think if anybody's name should be plastered across the front, it should be National Airport Authority. So my recommendation to the board is that they approve that he puts his sign under the infinity sign as on the first page.
Yep. I think that's a good precedent too.
Yep.
I mean, where I agree with you that second proposal, it does look like East Coast is a prominent.
Right.
And in fact, I think it has the least amount of space here.
Yep, and I'm not trying to minimize.
But they also have a very important function here.
Right. They're off to the busiest flight school,
yeah.
Great business, great people.
Right.
Personally, Mark and I get along great,
yeah.
But it's just what's right is right, and what's right for this building.
And then if Tivoli wants to draw their sign up in that area too, that's great.
Yeah, and I've discussed this with Greg as well, and while we're talking about this, nothing we're going to vote on, but my proposal on the first page, on the tan section above where everybody else is going to line up, is where I would like to put National Airport Authority.
Yeah.
I have Jillian from Marshall Sign working up a sign for me to put up here, and it'll be an illuminated sign just like Infinity's. So
that's a good plan.
And once she comes up with that, I'll send all that out to you folks so you can look at it, and we'll move along on that.
How much did Infinity pay?
Apparently that sign was north of $10,000.
Looks nice. Oh,
yeah, it does.
Because they got two of them. Because there's one on the other side of the building.
Right. I'm talking just this one alone. I was told was $10,000. But again, it's not illuminated at the moment, but it's provisioned to be illuminated.
I mean, is there electrical out there yet?
Not really. It would have to be.
No holes for the brick.
Hope some more holes, and that's why we're talking about this. There are other ways to illuminate it, too, ground lighting.
Yeah. Is this the front of the building first?
This is the front of the building,
yeah.
This is the street side of the building, and then you have ramp side,
right.
And our main access is on that on this.
But they were proposing on the street side,
right above
this.
Yeah, they were talking right over here.
And it looked kind of tacky.
Well, it just looks like they own the whole building, and that's not what it is. And I also had this discussion with Mr. Johnson from Tivoli,
yeah.
And you know, he didn't like it, and like he agreed with me that this is the National Airport Authority building. We own the building. We're renting space to tenants. It's the authority's terminal building. So you know, we need to maintain our presence here too. So
yeah.
If anything were to go out there, it would probably be National Airport Authority, but I think I'd like to keep it to what we already discussed. Next to the main entrance over here.
Perfect.
We have the street sign out there now that people will welcome tenants to put their name on the marquee.
Yeah.
I like the ground lighting idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be nicer. Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot less money and a lot less.
It looks better.
Right.
Yeah. Less pepper snows.
Well, high energy burning bulbs too. Jess, do you have any input on any of this?
Another LED stuff.
No, I haven't seen the signs yet, so I'll be interested to see what they're all looking like, but I definitely trust your judgment.
I'll send it to you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you're looking for a vote on this tonight?
Yeah, I know we've already discussed this in the past meeting, that we could allow them to, more of what I was presenting tonight was his other option on the front of the building, and I already spoke with Mark, said I don't support it, but I would bring it to the board, because it is the board's decision, it's not mine. So I think if you were to vote on something, it would be to whether to allow or not allow the sign on the very front parking side of the building, the street side of the building.
Did we ever vote on the Infinity sign on the building? Was that ever a vote?
I don't recall if it was a vote, but I know it was discussed and we were going to allow people to put signage on that part of the building.
Yeah, I don't think we should go about that.
I don't think
you left that one to me,
yeah.
So.
And I don't think the motion would be about letting them get on that building. It's just not allowing the second.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So on that note.
On that note, I'll make a motion to accept the concept of all signs in the same place.
Option one.
Yeah. I will second that.
And maybe just as a adder to deny the option two, just to be clear.
Yeah, to, yeah, you know, I deny the prominent but option two, but also allow ground lighting of the signage versus internal if necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, if necessary.
Right. If necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have any further discussion on signs on the building this evening?
One question on the illumination of the sign, who brings the electricity to the building?
It's going to be impossible to separate that, so it's going to be, the airport authority.
The answer to that question is the tenants are all the tenants are paying for it.
It'll be part of the camp. Yeah. Plus, if they're
LEDs, it's not going to be.
Yeah, I'm very frugal with energy, and everything that goes in here is LED, you know, for the last couple of years.
Okay, any further discussion?
Second.
Okay. Chris, would you call the roll, please, on sign approval?
Sure. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Durrett?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Let's see. That brings us to new business. Ross Desmond, aircraft maintenance.
So, I'll introduce Ross. Ross Desmond has been an employee on the field for many years, worked for Mr. Emon for many years, Equus, Air Direct, maybe others, Dave Wilkie.
Yep.
And Ross is here to introduce himself to tell everybody about his new business. We're not seeking permission. He's, like everybody else, he's able to operate here. He's just going to introduce himself.
So, good evening. My name is Ron Devitt. I have been on the field for several years. I'm working for other agencies. This past year, I decided to basically hang my own shingle and open up my own shop, which basically right now I'm working out of 125 in a single seat hangar, conducting maintenance there. So far, it's been going, the first couple of months we were traveling, you know, winter months, no one around, but fortunately things are picking up, and my name is getting out there, and business is slowly increasing, which I think is good for me and the airport. Like I said, I've been on the airport for several years, been an aircraft mechanic for over 30 years, IA for several years, and retired military aviation for 21 and a half years. So I do have some experience and bring some knowledge to the field, which is good. And plus, I also do teach at the college. I'm in my still in my second year teaching. Yeah, I teach both airframe and power plant there.
And if he doesn't have enough, he's a retired National Police officer. We thank him for that.
Wow. National Police.
Yes.
So how do you have a specialty? You know, service for pretty much.
Pretty much right now, my main customers are pretty much Skyline, who have been working on services the most at the moment.
Okay.
So, but my specialty, I originally came from Eastleigh Aviation, that's where I kind of cut my teeth in the business. So I was at Lawrence Airport, so okay. That was pretty much 172s, 150s, and Piper aircraft. But we also did, we had a very large maintenance facility at that point. We had gone from 3 stalls to the entire Eagle hangar. It was all maintenance when I was there. So that was, we were pretty much had 10 aircraft in at the time being worked on. And worked on everything for up to, you know, the 400 series estimates, so, and the turbine aircraft time. So I was also the chief inspector for ProStar Aviation for a year. Decided I didn't like the corporate life and wanted to get back to your regular jet GA. So.
That's pretty low. You know, nothing. The outfits we have on the field, you know, are top notch.
I agree.
But there's been a shortage Well, the wait time on Mayfair has been historically a problem.
Yes.
And so it's great to have other talent come in to help fill that gap. You know, when it takes you 6 or 8 weeks to get your plan on a manual, you know, that's a problem.
Yes.
And Ross shows up to work at 7 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
I'm saying
anything about it. But, yeah, so that's good. Well, welcome. Well, not really welcome, but good to hear you're taking the lead.
How do you feel about owner intent?
It varies with the owner, I guess.
Be careful.
That's the best way to put it. My students, for most of my students, because I teach the evening courses at the school, so most of my students are either change of career people or owners that are looking to get close to retirement, that are looking to be able to work on their own planes and stuff like that. So this weekend, one of my students who's an owner was in doing his windshield and his plane because he just had a day. And was getting that squared away and doing that. I don't mind it per se, as long as it doesn't hinder the process of getting the plane done. Because some owners just want to come in and hang out and not necessarily get the work done on the aircraft. And then you say, well, I can't provide, you know, the billing rate that I'm trying to give you to get your plane done. Suddenly, with, you know, a job that's 2 hours now turns into 6 hours. It's not fair and equitable to either of us to do that. So that's where you gotta.
It's $100 an hour if I do it. It's $150 if you help.
$200 if you use any of my tools.
But so far, actually all of my students have asked for mentoring an internship type of deal. Yeah. So far, that's working out pretty good because they've actually been very interested in doing it and don't mind. So far, one of them came in, he's like, I'll just clean bellies, I don't care. As long as I want to be working on, you know, live aircraft instead of just going to the school and seeing, you know, a plane with a wing, you know, just a fuselage sitting there and saying, okay, pretend we're going to work on it. So it's working out well so far.
I appreciate your candidness there. The question was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Thank you.
So I'm working on it, fine. If you want to talk about it, no.
So you're operating out of hangar 125?
Correct.
The second to last ones, north end of the field, the blue ones.
So it's just right in the T end?
Yep.
End unit.
Not the ones for sale?
No. No, they're owned by Infinity. Mm-hmm. They own that entire 123, 125, all the hangars there. It's part of, they were the McLaughlins at one point. National Jet.
Okay. Next new business item, Operation High Flight Sign Request.
If you want to.
Okay.
Thank you, Ross.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with Chris. What's High Flight?
He's not here. He wants to put a sign out on the fence. Operation High Flight is Mark Andrews representing his nonprofit organization where they have acquired a Stearman, beautiful Stearman, probably the nicest I've seen. I say that now, Crystal Frenzy got one the other day too.
Oh,
we have
wow.
Two of the most pristine Stearman I've ever seen on this field right now. But Mark Andrews has Operation High Flight. It's a nonprofit where they're going to be giving rides to children, veterans, military, police, at no charge through donations. And so far, so good. He's done a lot of rides. He also has an A-10 simulator that he received from the Air Force.
I thought you didn't say you had an A-10.
But he has an A-10 simulator that they're rigging up to be an operational simulator. It was donated by the U.S. Air Force. Mark is a U.S. Air Force veteran as well. And he's just asking to be able to put a sign out on the fence there. He's right down in across from 117 and is it 115 or 113? I can never get
there.
115. He's
did he say anything about what the sign looked like or anything?
No, he was going
to
present
that.
He was going to present it.
That thing? I reminded
him on Monday, so I'm not
well,
sure.
He must have got busy, but
yeah.
He's not asking for a big sign, just a small sign up on the fence. I support this. I support his organization. It's nothing but good. Great optics for the airport.
Is it lit?
No.
Have a card?
No, just have a $9,000 card. No, so I fully support this. And, you know, if all of a sudden he tells me he wants to put a billboard and he's going to knock the fence over, I'm not going to allow that.
You're right.
I think if you want to put forward a motion to
put a sign up. Any drawings or anything?
No, like I said, he was supposed to show up tonight and apparently he couldn't make it.
Yeah, I remember years ago, you think you remember this too, Chris, the business that's not here anymore had kind of a banner thing on the side of one of his buildings, and it was allowed to deteriorate.
Yeah, we don't allow temporary signs. The city of Nashua doesn't allow temporary signs.
Yeah.
Starts looking like podunkville.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we're not going to have that. There'll be a sign mounted. For certain events, you might put an easel out there, like come in here, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we do when we have events.
Yeah, I'm all in support of this. I just want to make sure that whatever gets put out there is taken care of, or if it starts to deteriorate, gets replaced or taken down, all that.
And he's doing a lot of this in conjunction with the Commemorative Air Force. They're going to bring the PT-23, is that what they have out at Hampton? They're going to be bringing that out here. Ed Mullins is doing all the work with them. He's one of the members of the Commemorative Air Force. And I think this is going to grow. There was some talk about a P-38 Lightning being added to the mix.
Hello.
Are they coming here? Are they coming here?
There was some talk about it. It hasn't happened. They're negotiating.
I saw CAF scheduled for the Northeast the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about CAF coming to do a show.
No.
I think you're thinking of the Collins.
They're based here. No, not Collins.
No, Collins may be who owns this P-38, believe it or not. But
I don't know if Collins is doing anything with that name anymore.
But it would just be static.
I think this weekend, I mean, they don't go by Collins. I've heard radio commercials, though, for what, it's like what Collins used to be. They're going to do a memorial thing, Memorial Day thing this weekend, and they're going to go drive around on their property in their tanks.
The tank museum's
amazing. I've seen pictures of it. I haven't been to see it in person, but apparently like a 100,000 square foot building. It's enormous.
Yeah, it's in there. It's really cool.
Oh, okay.
And they've done a great job.
But back to Mark Andrews, first class guy. If anybody here was at the Bob Byrd service, he was one of the military people doing the honors. He put it all together.
I'm happy to leave that, at the manager's discretion.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And that brings us to upcoming events. Chris has already gone over those. No need to reiterate them. Next up, public input as we close out the meeting.
Dude.
That's our public.
Dude, you're our public.
I'm the public. You're the public.
Actually, just to confirm, you said, missed your name from Gale. The saws and the cups are done by tomorrow.
Not done. No. The favorite one will be done, which requires the cup out of the line.
The closure, no, will be finished on Friday. But they open on Saturday. No. So the runway closure is just about getting the cabling. It's a 3-week project to do the whole AWOS SAWS relocation. So on June 1st, they'll physically move the equipment to the new pads, new location. And then the FAA, our electrician is actually going to assist with all the wiring. All the control wiring will be done by the FAA personnel. National Weather Service, and how long that's going to take, I don't know.
That answers the question. I thought it was this weekend. It's not an issue.
No.
I'm curious, and that's all I've got.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Do we have any other public input tonight? right. Thank you. Brings us to record comments. Larry, I'll put you on the spot first.
I'd like to revisit the sign thing, and I was wondering about for Infinity. I've been coming over here a lot on weekends and spending a fair amount of time, and I think they should letter the door because people are coming up. They're lost when they come off the ramp. You know, like where is Infinity? Where are they going? I think, you know, like Meshwork has on his door, you know, just letter their door with their name on it and the hours of operation, I think would be appropriate. Maybe a sign on the gate or on that side, on the ramp side.
Or even a perpendicular coming off the building above the door, maybe?
Well, something that shows pilots, you know, the direction where to go for the Infinity. That's all I have.
I will discuss this with Terrence.
Let's see, so just going down the line, I'll go next. I want to thank Chris for keeping on top of all the projects. And, you know, I know Matt, you do that too, and Danny does that, but, you know, like from our side, I'm just impressed that, you know, everything appears to be going real smooth, and happy to hear all that. And you obviously have a lot to do with that, so thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, Susan, I'll call you out again for working on budget stuff and you know, keeping all the numbers straight.
Speaking of that, approving the budget's coming up.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for your efforts, Sarah.
Crack the whip, Susan.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and someone's got to keep Dave in line, so thanks for doing that. So,
I would just like to add a comment.
Go ahead, please.
As a newcomer on the board, I would really like to have the hats both Chris and Susan for their organizational skills. I think they're phenomenal. And if either one of them are ever looking for a job, you call.
Some weird.
There are organizational skills are very impressive.
Something about conflict.
Or interesting conflict. I'm not sure.
All I got to say is more money.
Okay.
Remote work.
So let's move on quickly then. Dave.
For me, kind of parallel or somewhat of a parallel set about the organization, but there's two. The uniqueness of these two projects that are going on is that they require runway shutdown, and which impacts everybody on this field. And the ability, what I'm really, really happy about, is that they were able to schedule it so that the two projects are concurrent, not sequential, so that it minimized the runway closure. And that, to me, was like, that was... Of the stuff going on at the airport here, that's the only thing that kept me a little nervous, is that because it affects so many people all across the spectrum here at the airport. From the recreational flyers to the flight schools to the Infinity trying to get their operation going, it was great. I'm just so happy that was all done. And of course, it's going on schedule. That's always a good thing with that.
Joe? Second and third, everything you wore me out with cards and signs, so thanks everybody for all your efforts.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah, I'll second all those comments and just say that there's a lot of exciting things going on at the airport, and I commend the many people that are making that happen. Everybody on the NAA staff, and of course, our great engineers and the directors, and of course all the people that are bringing all the business and all the aviating. So look forward to being there soon and seeing all the improvements.
You're not going to recognize the place, Jess.
I hope I'll see all the good things and even more new good things.
Well, there'll be signs, so you'll be able to find it.
Well, yes, I look at my car as well.
sleep get on the airport.
Yeah, I might have to break in.
Uh-oh. Have a sign that says use your card. We already had enough publicity at this airport with people doing silly things. Right? Please don't break in.
Okay. So with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn in non-public. Pursuant to RSA 91A32D, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or lease of real or personal property, and RSA 91A32A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Roll call to adjourn in non-public session.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
And Director Duquette, Garrett. You guys in your French staff?
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Motion carries. We are now adjourned to non-public. Thank you.